This is WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence. We're starting off this Monday with a preview of Oklahoma opening at the Kalamazoo Civic on Friday. Here in the studio, Janet Gover, Director of Publicity, Ben Zillman, the director of the show, and actors Josh Danks and Britton Shoemaker. I'll start with you, Ben. Oklahoma, what a classic piece of music theater.
You're absolutely right. In fact, as some people know, Oklahoma not only is just a terrific musical, but it holds a very distinct place in the history of musical theater as a genre. Back in 1928, Showboat was the first musical written by Jerome Kern and Oscar Hammerstein that began to integrate music, dance, and drama. And that effort was catapulted forward in 1943 when Oklahoma debuted on March 31st. It really did continue that integration and set musical theater on a completely different trajectory. In fact, one of the things that I find interesting, you know, now the hot show is Hamilton. And everyone's talking about how Hamilton has moved the art form forward in an incredibly exciting direction. And that's what Oklahoma did back in 1943.
A watershed moment.
It really was. And in addition to that, of course, the fact that it debuted during the height of World War II. And every night, men and women in the armed forces would stand at the back of the auditorium waiting to be shipped overseas, and they would watch this incredible slice of Americana unfold before them. And that's what they would take with them as they were sent overseas, and that's what they were fighting for.
So can you, I'd like to hear a little more on the story, because I've been told all my life that Oklahoma is an important piece of musical theater. I still want to hear, I mean, exactly why. The story is a sort of a love triangle story, isn't it? I don't understand why this story about these people in Oklahoma is representative of, you know, a whole genre of music.
Well, first of all, if you go back and you look at the history of musical theater, it kind of grew out of European operetta and vaudeville. Vaudeville had been very popular, and vaudeville was comprised of variety acts. You would have the comic, and you would have the dancers, and you would have the singers, but there was no through line. There was no connectivity.
It's like sketch shows.
Exactly. And Showboat, as I said, was the first musical written in 1928 that really kind of began to connect all of those elements. And then the genre or the art form advanced with the creation of Oklahoma. You know, you talk about the fact that it's a love story, and it truly is, but it's also a story of hope and optimism, and the fact that these characters that we grow to care about overcome obstacles. They have difficult lives, but they don't lose their hope. They don't lose that sense of anticipation. And I think that's what resonates with audiences today. And that's why, regardless of when it's revived, it's always effective, it's always impactful, and it's always meaningful.
I find it interesting that it is about the lives of poor people. Mm-hmm. And maybe in those intervening years, we still had a lot of rather frothy, you know, Gershwin-type musicals about, you know, the roaring 20s or, you know, sort of glittering society-type musicals. And this one, it just hits home by the fact that you care about people, poor people growing up in Oklahoma.
You're absolutely right. You know, I'm asked all the time, what is it about this show that really is so compelling? And I think the fact that it's just straightforward storytelling. It's a story that unfolds before our eyes. It involves people that are honest and truthful and people that we care about. And then, of course, there's the incredible score. You know, Rodgers and Hammerstein were the masters. They set the gold standard. They wrote musicals that were based on time and character and place. You're not going to take a song from The King and I, for instance, and confuse it with a song from Oklahoma or Carousel, because they did their research and they wrote very, very specifically.
Why don't we take a break and hear the song that starts it all? Oh, What a Beautiful Morning.
Perfect.
From Oklahoma, we heard, "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning." This is how the entire piece, after the overture, the scene opens with this song. And Ben, I remember reading that this was unusual. Isn't it usually a big chorus piece that opens musicals?
That's exactly right. In fact, you know, when Oklahoma first opened on Broadway, it was not thought to be a hit because... It was so small and intimate the way it opened. Musical revues up until that point had always opened with a huge chorus, usually comprised of chorus girls, scantily clad, and this kind of broke all the rules. And so critics, I think they said, no girls, no legs, no chance. And, well, they proved them wrong.
Well, also in the studio here is Janet Gover, and as publicity director for the Civic, you want to connect listeners and audiences with the Civic. How can they find out more about this production and even find ticket information?
Absolutely. Tickets are available online on our website at www.kazoocivic.com. It's K-A-Z-O-O civic.com. Or there are always friendly people to help in our box office at 269-343-1313. And Carl, like you said, we open this Friday night at 7:30 p.m., run Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the next 3 weekends. So there should be plenty of ticket opportunities left to get a good seat.
What else is new at the Civic behind the scenes?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. As a result of our very, very successful advancement campaign last year, we have been busy this summer making some improvements and in the auditorium and in the Parish Theater as well. And audience members should see right away when they walk into the auditorium the new carpeting that was laid down. The carpeting last year was getting very old, dangerous in some spots, and it's all new. It looks wonderful. And the super secret thing that's underneath that carpeting is for patrons who are hearing impaired and used to use the hearing assistance devices that were in the box office. We have installed what they call a T-loop system. And this is a system that's actually installed underneath the carpeting, and people with a hearing aid or a cochlear implant can switch on a coil in that device and pick up the sound directly from the actors and the microphone on the stage. So your experience in the theater should be improved greatly. You should be able to hear every word of the show and every word of the songs. So we're very excited to introduce that to our patrons.
I wasn't aware that such a thing existed, actually.
We are the first theater in Kalamazoo to install this. I know there are some churches around that have one, and actually it was all this technology was created by someone who resides in Grand Rapids, and now it's kind of spreading across the country, but it should greatly improve some of our patrons' experiences in the theater.
Just to make sure I heard you correctly, if you have a hearing device that you use in your ear, mm-hmm. To turn up noise or sound, mm-hmm. to hear people, this will feed directly to that device.
Yes. So it's not like the sound is just being made louder for you. It's actually adjusted to what your hearing aid provides to you as assistance in your ear. So I think people will find it very enjoyable. There is a coil that needs to be turned on. We will have information in our box office on this device. And people may want to check with their audiologist to make sure that coil is switched on so that they can truly enjoy the experience at the Civic.
Oh, wonderful. Let's continue with talking to the cast members. Josh Danks is performing as Curly, and that song is your song.
Yes, absolutely.
you have a lot of experience in musical theater. I last saw you in Crazy for You, or was it Girl Crazy? No, Crazy for You, the Gershwin as a mean villain. But here you are playing a romantic lead.
Yes, it's actually my second time playing Curly. I've enjoyed it both times. I think right now is my favorite because I really like working with Ben. Ben always seems to really pull out the most out of everybody that he works with. So it's definitely an exciting opportunity.
Would you tell me the story of your character?
So Curly McLean, he is a charming, dashing cowboy who generally always gets what he wants and always paints the prettiest pictures for everybody to get it. He's in love with Lori, but doesn't really want Lori to know how much and kind of wants her to come to him. And so at times they kind of butt heads in that regards because it's kind of the same way, I think, for her. He doesn't really see competition with anybody until Judd comes along and Lori is going to the party with him. So
it's that's what's so amazing about this show is it's about as simple as going to a party and who you go with, you know, that creates all the tension and then the drama. And of course, we'll be able to talk about some of the other characters who add so much. But how do you feel about the singing lines of this show? Is it a pleasure to sing?
Oh, that's probably my favorite thing to do. Like what Ben was saying about the music, it's so beautifully written. And I can't think of any song in the show that doesn't really advance the story the way that they do, you know, with Roger and Hammerstein. I think it's every lyric and every song really speaks to the story and really shows a little bit about of every character in the show. And, you know, it goes as, like, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, really shows the excitement that Curly has for the day and what the day really can bring.
Well, let's hear about this from the character Lori's point of view. And Britton Shoemaker is playing Lori. So tell me about your character.
Well, Lori is this very independent, stubborn, but soft in the inside sort of farm girl. And she was raised from very young age by her Aunt Eller on a farm. And she was so used to doing everything pretty much herself with Aunt Eller, with the help of nobody. And so in that way, she isn't real quick to accept help or advice. She's just very much her own person. And I think that's what's so interesting about Lori. Her relationship with Curly from very early on is, as he was saying, just very back and forth and almost spatty, but loving underneath all of it. But she never really wants to admit her feelings. She wants Curly to come to her. And as much as she wants to live this fairy tale dream of love like, you know, Ado Annie does in the show, she doesn't want to admit to that. So she thinks, you know, Ado Annie is just silly because she's all girly and fluff. But Lori is hardworking and very stubborn. But she eventually, you know, lets her her inner lovey self come out, and I love that part of her.
Her aunt is her role model in a way?
Yeah, Ann Eller is very strong and strong-willed and strict, and there's no nonsense with Ann Eller. So Lori, from my perspective, I think she's been with Ann Eller for a really long time. We actually don't know that from the story itself. We're not sure how long Lori was with Ann Eller, but I'm thinking, you know, probably 4 years old. So she's grown up on that farm, and she's worked in those cornfields, and Ann Eller has led the way for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So no one's actually... On one hand, Ann Eller has been terrific in getting her raised and independent, but she's not the kind of parental figure who kind of teaches her daughter how to, say, flirt or get her, you know.
No, not at all. I would not call them girly or flirty at all. But what's interesting about Ann Eller is she has seen for a long time the dynamic between Curly and Lori, and she doesn't necessarily encourage it or discourage it. But she sees it, and she knows it's there. And I think the whole show, she's just kind of, oh, dear, you know, those silly lovebirds, but they'll never admit it to each other. And I think she secretly gets a kick out of it all, but she doesn't let it out very much.
You also have a history of performing at the Kalamazoo Civic. Where does your performing history actually go back to?
Oh, okay. So when I was back in high school, I did musicals as just something fun, and then I decided I really liked doing musicals, so I went to Michigan State. My bachelor's is actually in music education, but I did a lot of musicals there. I loved, you know, Carousel. Rodgers and Hammerstein is my favorite, of course, and I did a lot of opera, so my training is really in opera, not in musical theater. I do musical theater more because I love it, but I'm learning so much in this process at the Civic. I started at the Civic 3 years ago. And I have to say, every director is so different and so amazing, and we've learned so many things. But the songs and the singing part is always my favorite. But I love being able to explore the acting side of things. Because as an opera singer, you don't really receive all that training and guidance. And
they focus a lot on getting those parts sung.
Yes. Yeah, and it's important. But you also need the whole package for musical theater. So
you do.
I love that opportunity to learn.
Britton's voice was used to incredible effect in the Mary Poppins last season when you sang Feed the Birds. This is beautiful.
One of my favorite songs.
So now you are the lead in this piece. Do you feel that responsibility to create the magic that we are all going to buy into when we're sitting in the audience?
I think it's an incredible opportunity and incredible pressure as well. Like I said, my training is not in musical theater, and I'm on stage with musical theater performance people that are, you know, this is their gig, and I love trying to rise to the standard. I'm constantly learning. I do not know everything about musical theater by any means, but I under the direction of Ben, I mean, I really believe he brings out the best possible, and his vision is so real in these characters, and he really helps us to see that vision, and we're constantly working to rise to Ben's standards.
Ben, how do you coach your cast through that responsibility to create the illusion that the audience believes when the show opens?
Well, first of all, I want to thank these wonderful actors for their comments. I appreciate that. I think it all begins with having a vision for the production, what you want the tone of the production to be. That carries through from lighting design to costume design to scenic design to performance style. It's got to be one total picture. One vision. And then as you work with actors, you really have to approach them almost like, and I don't mean this to sound negative, like you would very different children. They have different needs. They have different levels of experience. They have different. And so to say this will fit for every actor is kind of inaccurate. You have to say, this is what this one needs. This one needs a little more prodding. This one needs a little more encouraging. This one needs a little more specific direction. This one I can just kind of point in the right direction, you know. But it all has to start with a real clearly defined idea of what you want the production to look like and feel like.
I need all of
what was that, Josh? I couldn't hear.
I said, I need all of those things that he said simultaneously.
Me as well.
No, to be very honest with you, these two, and certainly the entire cast, and that's what I love about working with community theater members. They take what you say and they work and they work and they really want to be good and they really want to deliver and they are delivering. These two and, you know, everybody in this cast, is they sing beautifully, they dance beautifully, the scenes are working so well. And, you know, there's an incredible emotional dynamic that's taking place. And it's a really strong production, and I'm very proud of it. And I am so pleased that we have the Kalamazoo Civic Theater in Kalamazoo, because it provides this opportunity for people who have incredible talent but come from such a variety of backgrounds. They all come together and they create this piece of magic. And that's what the Civic does. And I'm just so thankful that it's here for us in Kalamazoo.
The show opens Friday night and continues through October 9th. And details are available at kazoocivic.com, K-A-Z-O-O, civic.com. Or the box office number is 343-1313. Britton, your character Laurie, sings a very catchy tune called Many a New Day. What's it about?
This is Laurie's way of kind of saying she doesn't need really anybody to get her through life or get her through relationships. She's going to do her thing, and the girls that are on stage with her, she's kind of just being the mother hen, and, you know, listen to me. You don't need a man. You don't need this. You don't need this, and many a new day will dawn before I do, and she just, it's sassy. But it's optimistic in an interesting way, too.
Why should a woman who is healthy and strong blubber like a baby if her man goes away? A weeping and a wailing how he's done her wrong. That's one thing you'll never hear me say. Never gonna think that the man I lose is the only man among men. I'll snap my fingers to show I don't care. I'll buy me a brand new dress.
Someone knows.
What a delightful song from Oklahoma. And if you just tuned in during the music, I'm speaking with members of the cast and company of Oklahoma, which opens Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Kalamazoo Civic. Details at kazoocivic.com. In this production, Britton Shoemaker plays Laurie and sings that wonderful song. Josh Danks is Curly, the two romantic leads of Oklahoma. Ben Zillman is the director of the production, and Janet Gover is the Civic's publicity director along for the ride today. Ben, what else is Oklahoma about besides making sure these two characters get together?
Well, certainly, they have to overcome their own obstacles to find the happiness that they're looking for. But one of the themes that runs throughout the show is the idea of this territory becoming a state. And we have, you know, the farmers and the cowboys that have different objectives, and they don't see eye to eye, and they don't work together. But there's one number in the show called Farmer and the Cowman, and it talks about how if we all work together, we can accomplish this. You know, we can see this great thing happen. And I think that's another reason that the show is just kind of always relevant because, you know, it doesn't matter what decade you're living in. There's always some kind of turmoil. There's always some kind of tumult. And this show just reminds us that we are stronger together and that we can accomplish great things when we work together.
So in the context of the show, the farmers and the cowmen are completely embattled, and they have their own stand on things, and they think they're right, but they have to find a way to work together.
That's exactly right. And again, you know, kind of going back to the brilliance of the score, that all happens in one scene. And you kind of see, okay, they don't get along, and then they're going to try to, but it doesn't really work. But then by the end, they do get along, and they realize, yeah, we're acting pretty foolishly. And so I think is a great reminder that, you know, let's all work together.
We do tend to accomplish more that way.
Exactly.
Well, let's take another break for music. Here's The Farmer and the Cowman from Oklahoma.
Should be friends. Oh, the farmer and the cowman should be friends. One man likes to push a plow, other likes to chase a cow. That's no reason why they can't be friends. Cowboy folks should stick together. Cowboy folks should all be pals. Cowboys dance to the farmer's daughters. Farmers dance to the rancher's cows.
Cowboy folks should stick together. Cowboy folks should all be pals. Cowboys dance to the farmer's daughters. Farmers dance to the rancher's cows.
Than anybody else, but I'll be damned if I ain't just as good.
I don't say I'm just better than anybody else, but I'll be damned if I ain't just as good. And I can't play books with all the time. Now, take the hardest dance with the best.
A moment of unity by the end of that. A piece from Oklahoma, that's The Farmer and the Cowman, and we're talking to the company of Oklahoma, including director Ben Zillman. There must be big set pieces throughout the show with a cast of thousands, lots of dancing and kicking as well, I hope.
Absolutely, all of the above. Our scenic designer, David Kine, has designed a beautiful set in the scene shop, built it beautifully under technical director Philip Miller's guidance, and the lighting is incredible and the costumes are beautiful. This is one of those examples of what the Civic does so well. The production elements are all just top-notch, and audiences are really going to enjoy that aspect of the production. And the performers are so talented, and there are so many of them, and the dancing is incredible. Georgie Riegel, our choreographer, has come up with some innovative, athletic movement that is just kind of jaw-dropping. It's pretty amazing. And the orchestra sounds incredible, and, you know, I can't say enough good things about this production.
Well, maybe you can tell us the names of some of the other cast members. We have Josh Danks and Britton Shoemaker here today, but who are some of their co-stars?
Well, Natalie Burdick is playing Ado Annie, and she's just a hoot. She's so funny, and she's got a lovely voice, and she's just a wonderful presence on stage. And Dan Lafferty is Will Parker. And, oh gosh, I'm going to forget so many people if I start to
jump
name
in.
Them off. Jay Ootman is playing Judd Fry. And Judd Fry is one of the most interesting characters for me in this entire show because he's so dark. And again, going back to when this show was written, those kind of dramatic arcs or storylines were not incorporated in musicals at the time. So this was really pretty cutting edge at the time to have a character that was so multifaceted and so deep and dark. And, you know, he's menacing and yet you feel for him. And it's just a terrific
He's your
part.
Foil. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me more about your character working with this other character?
So Curly and Judd have a very interesting relationship. Curly's not super familiar with Judd just because they're kind of, Judd is a farmhand while Curly's a cowboy. And so they don't really interact with each other too much. It's more of a, you know, how do you do, hey, how's it going kind of thing. And they're not particularly friendly, but they're not like, you know, at each other's throats, because Curly, he, in all honesty, really thinks that he's better than Judd because he doesn't really know him. And that kind of goes back to like the farmer and the cowman being kind of at odds with each other. It isn't until Curly goes to ask Lori to this box social that, you know, he really starts to have a clashing of heads with Judd, because he finds out Judd is taking Lori to this party. And he's like, okay, well, I really need to figure out what's going on with this Judd guy. And the more that he learns about Judd, the more worried he gets about Lori's safety and just overall what Judd is possibly capable of, because of what he tells Curly while they're in the smokehouse together.
For some reason, I feel this is also a contemporary kind of dynamic. We know that miscommunication and things going wrong and a lot of scary things can happen without intending of any such thing. Britton, do you understand this dynamic where you don't have a lot of guys to choose from in this community,
right?
And he's the one who asks, so you say yes.
Well, Lori is interesting because she goes with Judd with this simple intent of, I just kind of want to get to Curly a little bit. And she even admits that. She says that right to Ann Eller. I said yes because Curly was so fresh, right? But she has always been a little intimidated by Judd, and it becomes increasingly more so as the story goes on. And my understanding is that she's had a past with Judd, but never to the extent of what is shown in the show. And he gets more and more, for lack of a better word, obsessed with Lori in his somewhat psychopath condition he has. And she really wants Curly, obviously, but she's using Judd as, like, you know, her back burner. And then she doesn't realize the effect it's going to have and how scary he can be and how threatening he can be. And there is a very powerful scene between Lori and Judd where she basically fires him and shatters his entire world because he doesn't realize fully what he's doing to Lori. He loves her so much, but he doesn't realize how dangerous he is toward her. And he's willing to do very terrible things, and Lori is afraid of that. So she then looks to Curly for, that's when she finally realizes, I do love Curly. I have to go for Curly. And she just melts, basically, in a scene with him and comes back from the big rush that was the scene with Judd, which was scary.
So this is one of the most, the dynamics of the show that creates the sense of suspense and danger throughout the piece. There's even an entire ballet sort of based on this.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the original ballet was created by none other than Agnes DeMille back in 1943. And it is the culmination of Act One. And it really, again, is just a testament to the brilliance of the creative team that put this show together originally. It takes all of the themes and all of the experiences that Lori has had up until that point, and it distorts them in kind of abstract ways. And it's moving, it's frightening, it's exciting, and it's just an incredible way to kind of encapsulate that moment.
Well, maybe you can put in context a song called Lonely Room before we hear it.
Yes. As Josh was saying, there's a confrontation between his character, Curly, and Judd Fry. And that scene ends, And Judd Fry really tries to come to grips with where his life is and how miserable his life is and how dark and lonely his life is. And he makes it very clear he is about to change all of that with an ominous overtone. And again, I think this sort of aria, which is really what it is, harkens back to European operetta.
The floor creaks, the door squeaks, there's a field mouse nibbling on a broom, and I sit by myself like a cobweb on a shelf, by myself in a lonely room. Awake in a lonely room. I ain't gonna dream about her arms no more. I ain't gonna leave her alone. Going outside to get myself a bride. Get me a woman to call my own.
One of the great and interesting villains of musical theater that is Lonely Room, sung by Judd. I've forgotten his last name.
Judd Fry.
Judd Fry, from Oklahoma. And we're here in the last few minutes of this hour with members of the cast and company, director Ben Zillman, soprano and playing the role of Lori, Britton Shoemaker. Josh Danks is Curly, and Janet Gover is from the publicity department. So here in the last few minutes, why see Oklahoma again? Britton?
I think this show is innovative. The first thing that comes to mind is just the choreography and the set design, and just everything about it is different than any production I've seen. Our choreographer is phenomenal. Georgie Riegel, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. And just the athletic, fast-paced. I mean, some of these numbers are just unbelievable, and our cast just rises to every expectation she has. And I think if you've seen Oklahoma before, you have not seen it this way, I promise.
Josh?
Besides the fact that we have an absolutely fantastic cast, I don't think that there's ever been any company that's done Oklahoma the same exact way. It's different every time that you see it with a different cast, and I can definitely say that it's completely different from when I did it last summer. So that alone is reason enough, but the amazing orchestra, the talented actors, honestly, it's what's going to make the difference from every other production you've ever seen.
Some shows leave you exhausted at the end. Is this one of those shows, or do you kind of keep your energy throughout?
Well, I keep my energy throughout because I'm so excited about being on stage. And I can definitely say that's 99% of the cast. But at the end of the show, when that final curtain comes down, most every single person is ready to go to bed because they put everything out there when they're on that stage. So,
Ben?
Well, I kind of look at it a little differently. I just think with everything that's going on in our world and the discourse and the angst that we read about and hear about and experience on a daily basis, I think we all need a shot of optimism. I think we need that hope. We need that sense that if we all come together, everything's going to be all right and we are going to succeed and flourish. I look at Oklahoma like an old friend or your favorite outfit that you just go to when you want to feel good and you want to look good. It's just always there for us. And I think we need that right now.
And Janet, I'm going to ask you to get in touch with our listeners.
Yes, and what Ben said is exactly why this is on our season again. We do want audiences to come and feel that hope and leave the theater energized, hopeful, and optimistic for the future. And Oklahoma plays 3 weekends. We open on Friday, the 23rd, and we play through the 9th. Something different this weekend. We're doing 3 weekends of Friday and Saturday performances at 7:30 and Sunday matinees at 2 o'clock. So call the box office at 343-1313, and they can set you up with tickets.
Well, thank you, Janet, Ben, Josh, and Britton for coming in and previewing Oklahoma here on WMUK.
They couldn't pick a better time to start in life.
It ain't too early and it ain't too late.
Starting as a farmer with a brand new wife.
Soon be living in a brand new state.
Brand new state, gonna teach you great.
Gonna give you barley, carrots, and potatoes. Pasture for the cattle.